Citizens who work for governments are not banned from praying. That's not the law. That's religious hostility and discrimination. So says Mike Berry, senior counsel at First Liberty Institute, in reference to a case that's not new, but there's a new development to it. Coach Joe Kennedy of the state of Washington was fired for saying a prayer at a football game. So we're going to talk about this right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest, again, is Mike Berry. He's a returning guest, again, with the First Liberty Organization, First Liberty Institute. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Okay, so this story is not new. It's been going on for a couple years now, but there was a kind of a new development to it. Unfortunately, a setback at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. We did hit another setback, and you know, folks who've been following the Coach Kennedy case will know that we sued Bremerton School District for firing him for, you know, saying a private brief prayer at the 50-yard line after football games, and we lost at the trial level, and we appealed that to the Ninth Circuit, which we knew would be not necessarily the friendliest of you know places to take our appeal, but nevertheless, that's what we had to do, and the Ninth Circuit has ruled against us as well, and it denied our request for a rehearing in the case. And so the next step for us is to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, anybody who follows the courts knows that very few cases are heard by the Supreme Court. Less than 5% are taken. But we're hopeful that the justices will see the importance of this case and what it means for really, you know, thousands of Americans across the country who don't want to be in the position that Coach Kennedy was of having to choose between their faith or their job.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is based in San Francisco, I've seen the building, the outside of it and so forth, they get overturned probably more than any other circuit court of appeals in America, right? And profoundly so. I mean, in other words, not profoundly, but many times it happens.
Yeah, that's right. They are the most, or if not one of the most overturned circuits in the country. And that's because, you know, a lot of the judges on the Ninth Circuit, while, you know, otherwise, you know, very honorable men and women, who are, you know, very successful judges and attorneys and whatnot, but, they don't necessarily see the Constitution and what our, you know, civil rights are in this country in the way that the majority of Americans do, in the way that the Supreme Court sees it. And so that results in them, you know, being overturned quite frequently on these types of issues.
All right, let's start with Joe's story itself, Coach Joe Kennedy.
Well, I mean, this is a story that really you could write a book about it. I mean, here's a guy who, growing up, had a pretty rough upbringing, bounced around from, kind of boarding schools. And I think Coach Kennedy told me one time that he never attended a school that he wasn't kicked out of.
Does that include this new one? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. A pretty rough, you know, upbringing. And joined the military, joined the Marine Corps. When he graduated high school, because he, in his own words, you know, he was a fighter, and he figured, well, if you're a fighter, then you should join the Marines. And served for 20 years in the Marine Corps that really kind of straightened him out, you know, gave him some discipline, some self-respect, all those kind of great things that the Marine Corps does for people. And afterwards, he was given the opportunity to be a football coach. And he just thought, wow, you know, after everything he'd been through in life and the kind of the bad kid that he was, he now had the opportunity to be a positive influence on young people's lives, and so he took the opportunity. But when he took the job, he made a promise that every football game, whether this team won or lost, whether they played great or played horribly, it didn't matter. He was going to give thanks to God for the opportunity to be a football coach. And, of course, if somebody got hurt, then he would ask for them to recover and get back on the field quickly, that kind of thing. You know, this went on for several years, and the school district said, you know, they'd never received a complaint. In fact, they thought what Coach did was a good thing, but the school district's lawyer said, if people can see what Coach is doing in public, then, you know, they felt like that that would violate, quote-unquote, separation of church and state. And so they ordered Coach to stop doing it, or stop doing it in a place where people could see him. So, I mean, think about that. Now, you've got a governmental body, which is a public school district, right, that is an employer in this case, and telling one of their employees, if you do anything religious and people can see you do it, we will fire you. And Coach just, you know, told us, he said, look, I spent 20 years of my life fighting for our Constitution and for our freedoms. And now to have the school district tell me that I don't have the same freedom that I fought for and sacrificed for, he said it was like a slap in the face. And so the very next game, Coach did what he always did, which was he gave honor to God for 15 to 30 seconds by himself at the end, you know, at the field, and they fired him. So that's what led us to where we are now.
Okay, somebody might say, well, what about the separation of church and state?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, is that in this country, there has to be room in our society, and certainly in our Constitution, for an employee, even if they're a government employee, to have 15 to 30 seconds of time to, to honor their religious beliefs. In the same way that there has to be a way for us to allow a Jewish employee to observe their faith by wearing a yarmulke, or let a Muslim employee observe their faith by wearing a head covering or a hijab, or a Christian or a Catholic to wear a cross necklace, etc. So, you know, and people kind of scratch their heads and say, well, those just, I mean, that would, it just sounds like that's common sense, you know? I mean, I see employees all the time that, so what's the deal with Coach Kennedy? Well, that's kind of our position, is that, yeah, this should be something that should not be controversial, that you would allow one of your employees to have 15 to 30 seconds just to observe their religious faith. And then that's it. I mean, everybody just kind of goes on with life. But instead, they decided to make this a hill that they were going to die on, and they fired him.
Wow. Okay, let's ask you this. What cases in the past where the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled, you know, on religious liberty or something like that, what cases would indicate that the U.S. Supreme Court, based on the overall rulings that they've made, would say, yes, the coach was fine, he was, you know, within constitutional parameters here?
Well, one of the landmark cases is called Tinker versus Des Moines. And the Tinker case, which was, gosh, it's probably been at least, you know, several decades now.
I think it'd be in the 60s or 70s, at least.
Yeah. I want to say in the 60s.
Yeah.
And
during Vietnam War, I believe.
Right. And these were about whether or not students could wear armbands, you know, black armbands to protest the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court said that, you know, I mean, obviously the facts of that case were dealing with students, but importantly, the Supreme Court, in its opinion, upholding the right of students to be able to engage in that kind of expression, said that neither students nor teachers give up their First Amendment rights when they enter the schoolhouse gates. So, and of course, you know, again, you know, lawyers on the other side would say, well, that's different because that was dealing with students and this is dealing with a teacher. And so, that's why, again, and it's been a long time since that case was decided, and so we think it's time for this court to revisit this issue and to make very clear that, yeah, even if you are a teacher or a coach or a principal or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, if you're an employee of the school district, you don't lose your First Amendment rights just because you work for the school. And that, yes, while you're bound by employment, you know, rules and policies and things like that, that there has to be room for an accommodation. There has to be a reasonable accommodation. And I realize this is probably, you know, a completely different, you know, I don't want to compare apples and oranges, but when I think about how, you know, because people ask me, well, gosh, you know, employer making an accommodation, that just sounds like it could really be a slippery slope, and then they have to allow everybody to do stuff. And I said, no, we do this all the time in this country. Anybody who's worked in a large office environment or a large corporation has experienced the great American smoke break, right, where people who use tobacco products are entitled to go outside, you know, and have 10 minutes or whatever every hour And the employer says, you know, that's a reasonable accommodation, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want you smoking in the building around other people because of secondhand smoke and things like that. But we are willing to allow you to go and have your 10 minutes of, you know, peace and privacy and enjoy your tobacco products, et cetera, and then back to work. So, and again, I'm not saying that that's the same thing as a religious accommodation. I'm just pointing out that this notion of employers granting accommodations is not going to have, it's a bit of a mischaracterization or, I guess, an exaggeration to say that the sky would fall if employers had to allow these kinds of religious accommodations across the country. We see it all the time.
You know, one thing, too, that's very disturbing is the idea that basically in the name of the separation of church and state, which, of course, those are words are not found in the Constitution, but basically what some of the leftists essentially are trying to impose today is, if you will, a God-free public zone. In other words, God is not allowed in the public schools at all. I mean, and that's just so un-American when you deal with the actual history of America.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, just even looking at, if we were to accept for academic purposes that there should be separation of church and state and government neutrality and things like that, well, the word neutral, right, it means that the government
not hostile
doesn't take a position either way.
Yeah.
Right? They're neither going to promote it nor are they going to censor it. But that's exactly what they've done to Coach Kennedy, in saying that their interpretation of the word neutral means that they have to snuff out any, you know, anything that's religious, any expression that comes from a religious point of view. Yeah. They feel like it's their job, their obligation to get rid of it. That's not neutrality,
right.
but they say it's in the name of neutrality. Oh, well, we're just trying to make sure that we're neutral towards religion. No, no, what you're actually doing is censoring anything that's religious, and you think that the absence of anything religion somehow makes you neutral. Well, no, it doesn't. Neutral means you allow both points of view. You allow all points of view to be expressed in a peaceful way so that people can have a diversity of viewpoints and we can coexist. That's what this country is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
Not censorship.
Yeah, and in fact, our second president, who knows what the founding fathers, he was one of the key founding fathers, what they meant and what they intended for this country. And he said one time, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And now we have this situation in the public schools where too many of them essentially are values free or values neutral, and in reality what happens is immorality flourishes. We just had another school shooting just a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Coach Kennedy, no, you better not pray. More school shootings, that's okay. Praying in the school, no way.
Yeah, I mean, and it's because it's this mentality that prayer, right? And I mean prayer in the generalized sense. Not doesn't have to be a Christian prayer. It can be a Jewish prayer, a Hindu prayer, whatever. But it's viewed by so many now, particularly those on the left and those who are hostile to religious freedom, as if prayer is some kind of toxic substance that they cannot allow it to spread. But what they do, in order to prevent, you know, the quote-unquote spread of prayer, is that they begin to censor even private prayer. Because at the end of the day, that's all we asked for Coach Kennedy, right? This was a situation where we simply asked for his ability to engage in a 15 to 30-second private prayer by himself at the end of the football game. And they said no. They will not allow that because people from the stands can see it. And we said, but it's silent. I mean, he's even, what about just a moment of silence? And the school district said, because we know what he's really doing. As if somehow the school district officials can get inside of Coach Kennedy's mind and his heart and know what he's actually thinking. But that's their argument.
Wow. All right, Mike Berry, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for the update. FirstLiberty.org for more information. Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.